Greetings, everyone. Last time that I spoke, I pointed out that the last Feast of Tabernacles Jesus kept is recorded in John chapter 7 through 10. Near the end of chapter 10, events on the last day of the feast are recorded, and chapters 8, 9, and the first half of chapter 10 all appear to take place on the last great day. Tensions in Jerusalem were high during this time. Jesus was accused of blasphemy and breaking the Sabbath day, and several times he had to escape from real attempts to kill him. Following the feast, he undoubtedly left the city. But Jesus makes one final trip to Jerusalem between the Feast of Tabernacles and his crucifixion. And it occurs at the time of year that we are in now. We read about it beginning in verse 22 of John 10. So turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, "Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." Last week, Bill Grahams gave us some details about this feast. He pointed out that the Feast of Dedication is more commonly known today by its Hebrew name, Hanukkah. The Hebrew word Hanukkah means dedication. The word Hanukkah occurs 12 times in the Old Testament, most often in conjunction with the dedication of the altar at the tabernacle and temple. I would like to turn to an example of that in 2 Chronicles 7. This is the dedication of the temple during Solomon's day. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 9. "On the eighth day they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication, or Hanukkah, of the altar 7 days, and the feast, in this case the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days. The Feast of Dedication in the winter commemorates the rededication of the temple following its 3-year desecration by Antiochus Epiphanes. It is observed as an 8-day festival, as commanded in the apocryphal book of 1 Maccabees. As we saw above, or in this verse in 2 Chronicles, the dedication process took at least 7 days all by itself, and then an eighth day would seem to be more of a celebration. In 2001, Hanukkah began on December 9th and ended last Monday night. Now let's continue reading what happened the year Jesus was observing Hanukkah. So we'll go back to John 10. And in beginning in verse 23, Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So they were still in a rather bad mood, I guess. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you." Well, Jesus had said these things to them the last time that he was in town at the Feast of Tabernacles, as recorded earlier in this chapter, where he elaborated much more on his analogy about the sheep. Now in verse 27, says he continues with this theme of the sheep. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Oops. Here we go again. Jesus was in complete control of what he said, and he knew what reaction each statement would have. He was well aware that he was pushing their hot buttons. And so we read in verse 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." As recorded in all of the other visits to Jerusalem during this past year, and in other places as well, the Jews were out to kill Jesus. It was usually for perceived Sabbath breaking, or as in this case, perceived blasphemy. In verse 32, it says, Jesus answered them, Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Then Jesus makes an interesting reply by citing a verse found in Psalm 82. Verse 34, it says, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Psalm 82 is very short, but contains some powerful words which tie in strongly with a theme Jesus used at the feast that we read about during my last two sermonettes, that of righteous judgment. As we read in John 7:24, Jesus said, Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Let's turn back to Psalm 82. And since it's as short as it is, we'll read the whole thing. Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Now, who are the gods? Are we talking about idols? Well, I think in context we'll find not. Verse 2, How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Aren't these things that we've been instructed to be doing? Verse 4, Deliver the poor and needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. And then he says, They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are unstable. And then in verse 6 he says, I said, You are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. This is a warning to Israel, indeed all of mankind, who are all children of the Most High, and all to become gods. They don't know it, but nevertheless, that's what God has said. It's a warning that we should take to heart as well. And then in verse 8, Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Now this has been translated in such a way as to make it sound like it's directly applying to God or to Jesus Christ at his return. I have not been able to determine whether this pronoun you in the latter part of the verse might perhaps be plural. But the word God is the same one that is used everywhere else in this psalm, whether it be singular or plural. When it says you are gods, it's the same word, Elohim. It's not unreasonable to think in verse 8 that it could read, Arise, O gods, referring even to us. Judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Because this is indeed part of the inheritance, as we see in the rest of the Bible, that we are to receive. So whether this is really referring to Jesus Christ at his second coming, or whether it could even be applied to us, I think it's an admonishment we need to take to heart. We need to learn how to judge properly in order to inherit all the nations. I'd like to go back to John 10, and we'll finish up with this event that occurred during the Feast of Hanukkah, just before the spring in which Jesus was crucified. John 10 and verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand, and he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed until he deemed that it was time for him to make another appearance, which ultimately ended up being his final one in the city of Jerusalem. These chapters in the book of John have emphasized our need to judge righteously. At this season of the Feast of Dedication, we all need to rededicate our lives to being righteous and judging justly, not just hanging on to doctrine, but going beyond that to actually living the way of life that Jesus taught.